God, we thank you for your amazing grace. God, we thank you that you set us free, that you set us free and allow us to walk and live a life of victory and freedom, of joy, of health. Father, that we can walk in all of the good things that you promised us. God, we thank you for that. Father, I pray that we as a church family, as a church body, we get to embark upon this exciting journey as being the Focus Church together, Father. God, we know that you have good things in store for Rosetown Community Church and for this community of Rosetown. Father, we're excited. Father, I pray that you will stir inside of our spirits, Father, this joy and this excitement and this life, Father, that you have for us. And God, that we would walk in victory. We would walk and live a life of miracle. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, team. Oh, and I dismissed the kids to go to Sunday school, except Seth. I guess Mom's going to deal with Seth in a second. So it was an interesting week this week. Before I start talking about my sermon, Thursday morning, everybody left, and I got up because I wasn't feeling great. I was feeling still a little bit under the weather, and I went to have a shower, and in the middle of my shower, we ran out of water, which doesn't happen in the city. I'm not sure if you know this, but my water's continuous, and I don't have a head full of shampoo, so I go and get a bit of water from the water cooler, which was very brisk, and rinsed out the shampoo, and I went and was hoping it wasn't my pump, and it wasn't the pump, so I went and shone a light in the cistern to see it was bone dry. Well, not completely dry, but it was pretty dry. There was a little bit of water in the one corner where the lines are. So I called Stacy, and she brought me some money at lunchtime, and I was trying to do everything and work and all that fun stuff because of being sick. I had to work from home. And I started hauling water after work and got the first load loaded up, got to the house, and wouldn't drain. The tank was, it was frozen inside the house. So I had to pull the line out and get a big long stick and stick it in there and get the big chunk of ice out. Then I could unload that load. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll live with it. One bad load out of all the loads we've had isn't so bad. So then we went and did the second load. Great. Third load, I start popping my toonies in the water machine. And on the fourth one, it went all the way through. And I picked it up and popped it in and then popped in the fifth one. And I'm sitting in my truck and all of a sudden I felt the weight shift. I'm like, that's weird. It never does that. And I go look outside, and I got water just spraying out the top of the tank. It double-counted the coin that went through. And I had about 2 inches of water all across the bottom of that trailer, which was awesome. And my entire tank was a big, giant ice block. So I drove home, dumped it, or started trying to dump it, to which point my valve broke off with about 1,150 gallons of water in the tank and minus 30-ish. So I went and got Ella, and I kind of had her stand off to the side, and I spun the valve out, put my hand over the water as I'm soaked from head to toe very quickly, and then I stabbed the cam lock on and spun it on and was only, it looked like I jumped into the pool, basically. But I think we only lost about 100 gallons of water, so it wasn't bad. And then we got the rest of the water unloaded, and I had to get a new valve. But the rest of it went flawless after that, other than I lost the lid to my water tank, but that's okay. And then Saturday, I spent the day chipping ice off of the water tank and the trailer so that I could park it in the Quonset again. So it was fun. I won't let myself run out of water again. I will check it every week and be more diligent. I've learned a lesson. Really has nothing to do with my sermon, but I kind of wanted to share with you my excitement for the week. It was really a lot of fun. It was last week was the first time in weeks I hadn't checked the water level every week. And I thought, oh, I'll be good till next weekend anyway, when it's going to be warmer next weekend, right? It's going to be -3, -4, no big deal. Should have checked it. But that's okay. So, natural church development, a pathway to health. So this is kind of, today's going to be a little different of a Sunday morning, okay? Can you guys bear with me on that? Because I need to tell you guys what NCD, Natural Church Development, is before we start jumping in. And Sunday services are just the easiest time to do it. So we're going to do a little poll here, okay? I'm going to ask Megan to come up here. Thanks, Megan, for volunteering. Let's give Megan a clap as she comes. And I'll ask Ryan to come up, because he was clapping first. Thanks, Ryan. Let's clap for Ryan. Okay, you guys just stand here, and I'm going to ask some questions to the audience, and I want you guys to guess, okay? So after church, we're not really doing this, so don't get too excited, but after church, we're going to serve a delicious meal. How many of you would like roast beef, potatoes, gravy, Yorkshire pudding? Or how many of you would rather have ham, scalloped potatoes, maybe some corn, another tasty meal? Now, I'm going to ask you, how many people do you think would want to have roast beef? And how many people do you think would want to have ham? But how many do you think out of the people that are here? Give me a percentage. 50? Safe bet, 50. Ryan, what do you think?
Roast beef and potatoes.
What, how many percent?
60-65%.
Okay. How many people here would rather have roast beef and potatoes? And how many people here would rather have ham and scalloped potatoes? Okay, so you guys are both wrong. Thank you. You guys can sit down now. You're so wrong. Thanks, guys, for volunteering. Why don't we give them a clap again? See, sometimes, now, bear with me in this, because there's a whole side of this discussion that I'm not going to touch on that you might not like, but sometimes we guess when we do things. We have to. We pray, we hear God, but sometimes it's also a guess on what sort of a program we're going to run, on how we're going to do things. We do what we feel maybe God's leading us to, but sometimes there's a guessing factor there. Would you agree? Sometimes you have to, because they both could be right. They're both delicious meals. But which one is more right? The beef. See, but we didn't know which one was more right between the two people that were kind of guessing, for lack of better terms, until we polled, till we did a little bit of understanding. So we don't know all the time necessarily how, I'm going to use Erla because she's right here, how Erla feels about small groups, how Erla feels about music, how Erla feels about this, how Erla feels about that, where how she feels about this, how she feels about her spiritual walk, how she feels about how we teach, all that stuff. We don't know that until we actually poll Erla. And it's all anonymous polling. But until we do that, I could be guessing, right? And that's what I mean when I say guessing. We can't know who is more right until we actually poll, until we get an understanding, until we have that discussion, until we have that dialogue. Now, when we want to poll, we're taking a measurement of something, right? So when we measure, we're measuring. When we get shoes, do we just guess? I'm a size 14. Is everybody size 14? No, not everybody's a size 14. But you need to take a measurement of your shoe size, right? When you're putting shingles on your roof, do you just say, oh, I need 200 square feet? when you really should have taken a measurement because you're actually needing 1,000 square feet of shingles. We need to measure sometimes just to help get us a better understanding of how we're doing and where we need to change, how we measure to change and make a better impact on people. So if we want to know, is my church doing well? Is the body healthy? Do we take a temperature? Do we go with our gut instinct? Because oftentimes we go with our gut instinct. We pray, we ask God to lead us, to guide us, to direct our steps, to direct our path. But we're all human. It's like ham and roast beef. They're both good. But one might be better for the body at that point in time, right? Beef is always better. So which would be more accurate? A gut feeling or a measurement? A measurement. And that's kind of what NCD is. And that's what we're going to jump into. So NCD is a way of measuring. So we know that if we had a measure of health, if we had a number to look at, it would be more accurate than if we just had a gut number. Now, as a church, oftentimes, what are two numbers that we often look at to see, oh, we must be doing a good job? The two numbers we often look at as a church is money coming in, right? And seats in the seats. But that doesn't tell you an indicative story, a true story of how you're doing. It could be just that you're less annoying than the guy across town. It could be that they like your hair better. It could be that they just identify with you better or with your denomination, or there's all sorts of things. So we want to actually find out how we're doing. And that's, once again, what NCD is about. See, the nice thing is as a church, I think we ignore those two things, the money and the seats in the seats, as our idea of health. Our idea of health here, and this is what I've kind of done, and maybe the council does things the same in some respects. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they look at the seats and the dollars. Sometimes I look at the seats and dollars, but we try to, as a whole, look at, are we reaching people? I think that's fair, right, Nathan? That's our concern, is are we reaching people? Are we having a positive impact on you folks here as well as in our community? That's our concern. And so that's where I think we as a church are really aligned well with what we're going to be doing here with NCD. I'm trying to work from my notes from the book, so bear with me. I'm excited to engage in this. See, this is one of the things that Focus Church allows us to do, is really dig into who we are, to dig into who each of us are as an individual in Christ and the fact that we want to grow in Him. And that's exciting to me. I think it's exciting that we have an opportunity to grow. It's going to be a real blessing for us as a body. But don't kid yourself, it's going to be a challenge as well. Because nothing comes easy. As I shared about what Melville's doing right now with respect to ripping out their pews, that's a big decision for a church. It's a challenging decision, but it's an important one for them. It's an opportunity for us to see God at work in our church in a different way, and maybe that one that will change our perspective and one that will allow us as a body to flourish and bloom. So NCD, Natural Church Development, I'll tell you about it now. It started in Germany. Everything good comes from Germany, I think. Bratwurst, sauerkraut. Let's not go there. Let's talk about the food. It started in Germany by a guy named Christian Schwartz. And Christian was taken to church, to a charismatic church, by a friend of his. And when he went to this church, he was prayed for. And when he was at this church, he received a miraculous healing. And when he was healed, it was like he could see clearly for the first time. And he saw this contrast between the power of God, the power and authority that God allowed us to walk in, and the life that many people lived. And it was a huge contrast, and it was one that troubled him. And I think and I hope that it troubles you. The fact that people read about the power of God and how I talked earlier about the miracles, but they don't actually live it. You know what I mean? So Christian, when he was healed, saw this. And he saw the sickly state of the church in Europe. And so Christian thought, seeing how God restored his health, he felt a call in his life to help get churches healthy. So when he read the literature, he found that most books where the church was modeling after, they would tend to focus on the big churches or the mega churches. One with lots of the two measurables we talked about, bucks and seats in the seats, right? The churches, the mega church, the Saddleback Church, the Life Church, the, I can't remember Driscoll's, Mars Hill Church, and those types of churches, those are the ones that people would read about, and those are the ones that people would try to mimic. You'd read the pastor's best-selling books to see what they think was the key, and then they would just do it and try to replicate it over and over again. Now, I'm going to tell you something that really doesn't work. It doesn't work. The 50-person church can't run the same as the 2,000 to 5,000 to 20,000-person church. We're different. Our DNA here in Rosetown is different than the DNA in Germany where Christian was. And that's the cool thing about this system, about these measurables, is it doesn't say, okay, now you need to fit in this box, and this is how they did it, so this is how you're going to do it. This isn't a one-size-fits-all church health solution. So Christian, after getting frustrated with what was out there, he did what smart folks do, and he turned to God. How many know that God is the best source of information, best source of wisdom, best source of everything, right? Amen? And he prayed and he searched the Bible. And then he found a couple key teachings that are in these books that I've been reading here. And the first is described by Jesus in several places, including John chapter 15. And John 15 says, verse 4 to 8, says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple." So Jesus paints this picture of a healthy church when he says a collection of healthy disciples is fruitful. And if we want to bring this glory to God, if we want to be full of health, he has in store, for all the health that he has in store for us, if we abide in Jesus, we remain in Jesus. We live in Jesus. We walk with Jesus. We live in his power. We walk in his authority, and we will bear much fruit. So the word is clear. Jesus isn't looking for fruit that we can produce on our own, is he? He doesn't want us to try to produce our fruit on our own. He wants us to be part of his vine, part of his church, and to produce fruit. And we are called to show and produce fruit. And what is the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. The church is called to produce good spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, righteousness, sanctification, spiritual gifts, including tongues, prophecy, discernment, healings, all the wonderful things that the New Testament teaches us, right? That's the fruit we want, right? Isn't that the fruit you want? And they happen naturally when we're faithful and fruitful with Jesus. Jesus wants healthy churches rooted fully in him. And he says, when they are, they will act like the rest of God's creation because God has formed the world so that healthy things grow. Right? If you put seed on good soil, does it grow? If you put seed on gravel, is it really going to grow? Not really. Jesus says unhealthy ones will not grow, and they will be pruned or thrown away. So NCD is not focused on increasing dollars, bucks, and seats in our seats. Okay, I want to be very clear on that. That is not the NCD focus. Natural church development, that's not our focus. We're not going to be here saying, okay, here's our survey. Okay, now how are we going to grow? How are we going to get more numbers? We need to get more offering. We need to get more of this. I want to see this place full, and I want us to be at the three services that I feel God has told me we're going to be at it someday. That's not what NCD is about. And if that's what we think it's about, I'm going to burst that bubble right now, and that's not the purpose of this. That is not the purpose of NCD. But it wouldn't be from God if it didn't recognize that God wants his churches to grow as well. See, NCD is about creating healthy churches, about allowing us to understand where our gaps are and get healthier. And when things are healthy, what did we just say a few minutes ago? Things will grow, right? So it's about us getting healthy as a church and being fruitful in many areas. So the first thing that Christians saw was something most of us see, that God wants healthy, growing, living, vibrant churches. Which led him to the difficult question, how? How does the growth that Jesus wants to see in the church happen? And he found the answer in this parable Jesus told about the way the kingdom works. So Mark 4, 26 to 29 says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Did I copy that wrong? Yes. A man sows seed on the ground. Sorry, I had a typo. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. So the seed that the farmer sows, it produces growth and health. The farmer plays a part, right? He sows it into the ground. But he doesn't create the growth, does he? Does the farmer create that growth? Once the seed is scattered, it's out of the farmer's control. Nathan, I bet you wish sometimes you had control over that seed. But it's much better, you would agree, to let God have control of that seed, isn't it? See, the farmer can't force that seed to germinate. He can't cause it to take root in that soil. He can't create this stalk to come up and grow taller. He can't force it to produce a seed that will form in the top of the crop. So who does? Well, verse 28 says it happens all by itself. But remember, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God here. The power to grow doesn't come from the seed any more than it comes from the farmer. The power to grow comes from one source and one source alone. And I'll give a high five after service to whoever tells me that source. Who's that source? God. God is that source. Who said that? Oh, Myrna wants the high five. Thelma, you were just a second behind. God is the source to cause that seed to grow. When Jesus said the plant grows all by itself, he means that if the farmer does what he should, if he sows it in good soil with sun and rain, God will take care of the growth all by itself. All by itself, that growth is really God-designed, God-proven, God-powered growth. And the neat thing is it's because it was put into healthy soil that the growth happened. And it's the same thing that Paul was getting at in Ephesians 3, where he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. We plant and we water. We protect and we fertilize. But growth, really healthy growth, can only come from who? God. So Christian realized that we needed to measure how healthy our churches are to see if we're sowing and watering in a way that will cooperate with God's plan for healthy growth. And he needed to find things that can separate healthy and growing churches from sickly or dying ones. So then we would be able to unlock what he called the all by itself growth for the church. And when we have our NCD team in place, this is the book that they're going to get to work through. And it's All By Myself, All By Itself Pathway, written by Christian. And he just talks about some of the things that we're going to continue to talk about today. So he came up with this plan with his friend. And the plan was to question, test, and study 1,000 churches worldwide, ones that appeared healthy on the surface, and see what really made them special. And he wanted to see if it was possible to see if they were truly healthy or just looked that way from our eyes. Because there's a lot of churches out there that appear healthy, appear vibrant, appear like they have a lot of people in the seats. They have big $1 million, $200,000 budgets every year and have nothing for health. They're just there. And one person leaves and the whole thing comes crashing down. So to date, over 70,000 churches have utilized this tool known as the NCD survey. And the tool is considered to be accurate and reliable as taking your temperature when you're to see whether you're healthy or sick. Their very first church they examined, church health survey examined 1,000 people, in 32 countries. And from that, they built an accurate, proven way to measure church health. And that's what we get to be a part of. The real-world results showed that their system really could measure and put a number on the health of a church in a believable and statistical way. And I know we don't like math and science all the time, but we need this gives us an actual way to look at things. This doesn't give us the prescription, but it gives us an idea of where we are health-wise. Temperature is one measurement. And the NCD survey actually gives us 8 measures of church health, though. Because in studying the surveys, Christian found that there are 8 crucial factors that are the most important indicators of church health. So these 8 indicators aren't listed in order of important to least important when I talk about them. They're just simply the 8 that best reflect overall health. And these 8 are the most important in small churches and large ones, in England, in Korea, in Canada, in the United States, all over the world. Just time and time again, churches who are above average in these areas are growing and fruitful and are above the national average. Churches that are lower on these are not in line with that, and they have gaps that they want to fill. So churches who boast high scores in these high score by those 5 points have a high evangelistic rate. They get healthier, they grow. And NCD shows that when we focus on the health of a church, then God will supply the natural growth that happens. Once again, I'm going to say from this book what I've read is church size doesn't matter. I need to be very clear on that. And I know I've said it a few times, church size doesn't matter. If we're healthy, that's what matters. That's what matters. Because in the end, we need to be healthy. In fact, all their testing, they found that the highest rate of new believers, this is very interesting, the highest rate of new believers in churches, do you want to know how big those churches are? Let's do a poll here. Do you think the highest rate of new believers happens in churches of over 1,000 people, over 2,000 people, over 500 people, over 100 people? It's in that 75 to 150 range, which is pretty cool because we're right in there. And it's amazing because it gives you the opportunity to, as a person in a church that size, to connect with one another, to build those relationships. And that's what I've seen in my past and previous churches is where you had those smaller congregations, even though they were smaller, you got to see growth develop, people building relationships, people coming to Jesus. And in the end, that's what matters, right? People coming to Jesus. So what does NCD look like? Well, one thing it doesn't look like is it's not a model or a system, okay? This isn't a Lutheran, Alliance, Baptist, Catholic, or Pentecostal thing. They won't say, if you're not growing, this is what you need to change. Do this. If you're unhealthy, do that. They aren't selling their kind of method or their kind of church. NCD is just a diagnostic tool. That's all it is. And once we get the report, then we decide how we're going to get healthy together. So why does the prescription look like? It looks like how we need it to look as a body of believers, how we come together and plan it. Now, I know today feels like it's a bit of a lecture, or it's not a typical sermon that I would give, and I apologize for that, but I really, this is, like I say, this is the best opportunity I have to share with the entire body. So you guys all know what you're getting into. Because to me, this is exciting. Yes, it feels like a lecture, and I'm reading a lot from my notes because I'm paraphrasing a book that I've read, but these are important steps to understand where we're going as a body, as a church. In NC, there are 8 important factors, as I said earlier. So remember, these are not in order, okay? They're not in order of importance, but we have leadership as one of the key characteristics. We have ministry as another key characteristic. Spirituality, structures, worship services, small groups, evangelism, and relationships. So no one more of these is more important than the other. It's just the 8 key factors. And these just happen to be the best way to measure church health. So NCD is about showing us the wheels we have and helping us choose the right wheels we need on our cart. The best way to move that cart forward. Because having wheels like that on our cart becomes a bit of a challenge, doesn't it? Be much easier if we knew that we had those tools in our toolbox to make this ride go a lot better. We need the right tools. We need to know which wheels will make it easier to go. So in their testing, they found that 8 of these 8 quality characteristics, having them is good, but having them in the right way is better. So we can have all the wheels we want, but having them the right way is better. So healthy churches, they don't just have leaderships, but they have leadership that is empowering. They don't just have ministry, but they have ministry that is gift-based. We don't just have spirituality, but we have spirituality that is passionate and on fire and desiring more. Not just structures, but we have structures that are effective. We have worship services that are inspiring. We have small groups that are holistic. So not necessarily, well, I go to Nathan's Bible study, so I guess that's my small group, or I don't have a small group where I belong. But you get together with Lyle and Elaine for supper once a week, and you guys just share and talk and encourage each other. Or you go for coffee at Tim Hortons, and you just share with other believers. Or you, wherever Coffee Row is here in town, wherever you choose to go, right? But you're gathering together with believers. That's holistic small group. When you're encouraging each other, when you're meeting, you're having meals together, you're fellowshipping. That's holistic small groups. It's not just the Bible studies. The Bible studies are also a small group, but there's the other side of things where you can look at things. Evangelism in the church that is need-oriented. Like we have in town a number of single moms. So maybe we start looking at single moms ministry. We have a number of unplugged people in town. Maybe we look at a way of getting them connected in a church. There's lots of needs. We need to figure out how to do evangelism that is need-oriented. And relationships. This is probably one of the ones that is really near and dear to my heart. But relationships that are loving. And not just a, hey, how's it going? But one where we actually care for each other, where we want to be connected with each other, where we love each other. I've been in churches, guys, where people have spoken so poorly to each other. People have spoken so poorly to me that they wouldn't have gone to Walmart and talked to the greeter that way, or talked to the person that wouldn't serve them that way. And it's so vital that we have relationships with each other that are loving, that we care for each other, that we build each other up, that we pour into each other. That is key. That is important. And guys, I'm very passionate about relationships. And that's why I want us to be a family. I want us to love each other. Because I'll tell you what else, another thing about relationships. When people come through our doors, if they don't see that we love each other and that we're not welcoming and loving to them, how badly are they going to want to stay and get to know Jesus? Because we're supposed to be who he is. We're supposed to be imitators of Christ, aren't we? When you look at all those pieces, the Pentecostal churches who do this generally tend to score highly on passionate worship, but very poorly on effective structures. And I'll tell you why. And it's not a knock at all. And some people say, well, we got the Constitution, Pastor Dave. You just read from the Constitution. That's how we run. Doesn't, like, as Pentecostals, I think we have our Constitution, but we don't live and die by the Constitution. We don't live and die by our doctrine. We live and die by Scripture, by love, that people will know us by the love of Jesus that comes out of our life. That's how people know us. They will know us by how we are passionate when we sing, that we will be life, don't they? See, that Constitution, the doctrine, our essential truths, they really don't matter a hill of beans compared to Scripture, right? Scripture is what we live our life on. Scripture should be what we base everything on. These books that I'm speaking about today, this isn't what we're living our life on. This is a tool we're using. But our life, our church will be based on Scripture, will be based on passionate worship, will be based on the fact that we love Jesus and we love each other. That's who we will be. I don't know how we're going to score in any of these. I was reading through this and I don't have a clue. It's about as lucky as saying, who likes roast beef and Yorkshire puddings, which Yorkshire puddings are awesome, or who likes ham and scalloped potatoes? You don't know, really. I mean, obviously most people are going to be beef, but if I'd have thrown bacon in there, then it really gets messy, doesn't it? But the fact is, guys, I don't know how we're going to score. I'm excited to see how we're going to score on these and how we can maybe start working on some of our gaps. But I want us to stay true and focus on our passionate worship. I want us to stay true to loving each other, because that's some of their key characteristics that we have. The Saskatchewan District of the POC wants us to be healthy. They want us to be a healthy and vibrant and growing church. And that's also exciting for me, and I hope that's exciting for you. Because they're going to be showing up here once in a while, and they're coming to encourage us. They're coming, and they want to see all of us here, and we're going to do a day of prayer together. And they're coming out, and they're bringing their teams, and their churches are coming, and members of their churches are coming, and they're going to come and pray for us. And they're going to lift us up in prayer for the next 6 months starting in February. Just like I pray, we're lifting up Melville right now in prayer. When you're at home in your prayer closet, when you're doing your devotionals, I pray that you're lifting them up. I pray that you're lifting Pastor Doug up. See, the POC, they want us to reach our community here in Rosetown. I haven't shared this vision that I saw that I've shared with you guys on multiple occasions, with people driving down the highway and the highway being backed up, of people wanting to come and experience Jesus here. People coming to Rosetown Community Church to be a part of what God is doing here. I never shared that with them. But they believe that we can have a positive impact and a growing impact in our province right here in Rosetown. And that's exciting to me. That's exciting. They want us to reach our community. And that's why we were chosen. That's why we were asked. See, we're not going to get into all the mechanics of those eight things today. We're going to get into those over the next couple weeks. And if you're not able to be here, I know a few of you are gone. Don't worry, because we'll record it and we'll put it online, even though it's not necessarily a standard Sunday service like you might expect. I pray that you'll still be encouraged from it. I know you'll be encouraged from it because I hope you're and pray you're being encouraged today as I share about these systems that we're going to be going through, the process we're going through as a church body to grow and to love each other more. See, and I'm going to ask Mary and the team to come up because we're going to pray right away. But the neat thing I find about this whole thing is, yes, the POC wants us, the Saskatchewan District wants us to be healthy. They want us to bear fruit. They want us to grow. But Jesus wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to grow much more than the POC does. Jesus wants us to reach our nation, reach our city. He wants us to reach them. We can't do that effectively until we're healthy in here. Until we have healthy soil here. Until we fill our gaps fully here. I'm excited. And I really pray that you guys are excited too. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray in closing. And then after that, we're going to invite you up for an opportunity. And Nathan, I'm going to ask Nathan to pray for you guys and anoint you guys with oil. Those of you that have a need, is that okay, Nathan? And for those of you that have to leave, you'll be free to go after I close this in prayer here. And I'll meet you at the door to say goodbye and give you a hug. Give you a high five, whatever you want. Whatever you feel comfortable with. Fist bumps, I don't care. But know that me as your pastor, I love you guys a lot. You guys are all important to me. And relationships matter more than anything. Relationships matter. And I hope you guys know that. Would you guys stand as we pray? Father, as we prepare to embark on this journey as a church, Father, as we prepare to go through this process of Focus Church and NCD, God, I pray that you would allow us to have wisdom, Father, on the path that you would have for us, on the places that we need to work. God, I pray that we would walk in to this process and be fully prepared for what you have for us. And I pray that, God, that we would accept these results, Father, and that we would move forward excited and ready, God, to do your work here. God, I pray that we would, through this process, grow together as a family, as a body of believers. Father, that we would be excited for all that you have for us, that you would lead us and guide us through this process. Father, I pray that you would bring health to us more than anything. Make us spiritually vital. Father, that we wouldn't be plateaued or we wouldn't be declining, God, but we would be growing for you. That we would see people come to Jesus each and every week in these doors. And that people would come here because your presence is here. And that we are walking in your presence and in your authority. Father, that we wouldn't be relying on pills or processes, God, but we would be relying fully on your word and your power and your authority. Father, we thank you that you guide us. That you direct us, that you lead us, and that you love us. God, I thank you for each and every person in this congregation, those that are here this week and those that are away for whatever reason, God. I pray that you would bless them, empower them, strengthen them. God, we thank you for them. God, I thank you so much for each and every one of them. Father, I pray that you would lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name. Amen.